This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Today, the United States Supreme Court hears arguments in a Texas death penalty case. This case tests how judges should evaluate claims of racial discrimination in jury selection. This is the second time the case of Thomas Miller L. has made it to the nation's highest court, and there are signs that the justices are not happy with the way that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is handling death penalty cases. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
In recent years, the Supreme Court has overturned the death penalty in a number of cases from Texas. And in so doing, the court has indicated a growing frustration with both the Texas State Appeals Court and the Federal Appeals Court that handles appeals from Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. The Supreme Court's increased monitoring of the federal court, known as the Fifth Circuit, is particularly important because Texas leads the nation in the number of death sentences meted out each year. At issue before the court today is the case of Thomas Miller L., an African-American convicted in 1986 of a brutal murder. He's always maintained his innocence, but the issue before the Supreme Court is whether prosecutors violated the Constitution's ban on racial discrimination in jury selection by excluding black prospective jurors. When the case was heard the first time by the Supreme Court nearly 2 years ago, the justices ruled by a vote of 8-1 that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals had been wrong in refusing to consider whether the jury selection had been infected with racial bias. Justice Anthony Kennedy, his face red with indignation, summarized from the bench his decision for the 8-member majority. First, he addressed the subject of peremptory challenges. These are the limited number of challenges each side is permitted to strike prospective jurors arbitrarily without citing any reason.
Statistical evidence alone raises some debate as to whether the prosecution acted with a race-based reason when striking prospective jurors.
Kennedy noted that prosecutors struck 10 of the 11 black prospective jurors whom the judge had deemed qualified to sit in the case. Indeed, observed Kennedy, prosecutors used 10 out of their 14 peremptory strikes to get rid of African Americans.
Happenstance is unlikely to produce this disparity.
In addition, Kennedy observed, many of the black jurors who were struck gave substantially the same answers as white jurors who were not struck, and black jurors were questioned differently than whites. Justice Kennedy said prosecutors used 2 scripts, one that described an execution in gory detail and one that didn't. Prosecutors said they used the gory script to ask hesitant jurors if they could really impose the death penalty. Yet, with an equal number of hesitant black and white jurors, the gory script was used for 7 of the blacks and only 2 of the whites.
Disparate questioning did occur, and in our view, a fair interpretation of the record is that the prosecutors designed their questions to elicit responses that would justify the removal of African Americans from the Venieri panel.
Noting that prosecutors also marked jury cards by race, Kennedy pointed to the fact that the Dallas District Attorney's Office had for decades trained its prosecutors to use peremptory challenges to strike all African American and Hispanic jurors. A training manual used into the 1980s instructed that minorities be struck because, quote, they almost always sympathize with the defendant.
We accord some weight to petitioner's historical evidence of racial discrimination by the district attorney's office. It reveals that the culture of the district attorney's office, at least in the period before the case was tried, was suffused with bias against African Americans in jury selection. This evidence, of course, is relevant to the extent it casts doubt on the legitimacy of the motives underlying the state's action in this particular case.
Although the Supreme Court did not, 2 years ago, order a new trial for Miller L., the court sent the case back to the appeals court using language that strongly suggested that the lower court, if it dutifully reevaluated the evidence, would order a new trial. But the Fifth Circuit did not. Indeed, after reviewing the evidence, it concluded that the prosecutors' non-racial explanations for their actions were credible, and that there was no racial motive for striking so many African-American prospective jurors. Remarkably, in its decision, the appeals court used verbatim much of the language from the lone Supreme Court dissent in the Miller L. case, the dissent filed by Justice Clarence Thomas. Now the case is back before the High Court, and the question is whether the court will slap the Fifth Circuit's wrist again, and if so, how hard. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.